This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno, here at Fresno State. Every day from 4 to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, the Portuguese American Hour, this with a very special Christmas edition. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling your family and friends that we are all about everything that is Portuguese in the Valley and throughout the state here on the Portuguese American Hour every day from 4 to 5 p.m. And again, to those of you who don't live in the listening audience of the area of Fresno, please remind your family and friends that we are also available online, www.multicultural1600am.com, and all of our programs are archived in our website, or they can be listened to as podcasts. Today we have a couple of special guests, as we wish everyone Boas Festas, happy holidays. Feliz Natal, Merry Christmas, and our first guest is already online. We're happy to have her with us. She is the Portuguese professor at the California State University, Fresno. Her name is Professor Inês Lima, who has been at Fresno State for a little over a year now. We're happy to have her on the Portuguese American Hour of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute. And good afternoon, Inês.
Good afternoon, Denise. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's take a few minutes. Thank you for taking time. I know this is a very busy time for all of us as we prepare the end of the semester and as we are getting ready for another semester, ready to begin just around the corner. So thank you for taking the time to visit with us. And we'll start a little bit, if you don't mind, kind of an introduction to our listening audience of who is Professor Inês Lima, who is from mainland Portugal. And tell us a little bit about your family history, if you don't mind, and a little bit about your academic life all the way here until I believe it was the fall semester of 2018 when you first started teaching at Fresno State, correct?
Yes, sure, with pleasure. I'm from Porto in mainland Portugal. I'm 40 years old. I was born and raised in Porto. I took my bachelor's degree at the University of Porto in Portuguese and English literature and languages. And after teaching in Portugal for maybe about 5 years, I went to France to pursue my studies to do a master's in Portuguese literature. I also taught in France, in Paris, for three years. And after that, I came to the United States for a PhD. I lived for 5 years in Massachusetts and studied at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. And I graduated last year with a PhD in Portuguese literature. As for my family history, well, my parents are both from the north of Portugal. They still live in Porto. They are retired now. My sister is also a Portuguese teacher, so she lives in Germany.
A family of teachers.
Yes, actually, just my sister and my generation.
I see. Yes. And of course, I should mention to our listening audience that Inês is from one of the best cities in Portugal because it has the best soccer team in the world, a football club.
Yes, of course.
Of course, yeah. The Benfica and Sporting fans will not like that very much.
No.
And I'm one of the few Azorians that's a Porto fan, which is kind of unbelievable.
Oh,
traditionally, people are either Benfica or Sporting in the Azores. But my,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That will probably get you in trouble sometimes.
That will. That has. So tell us a little bit about, you have been here at the university. Now this is your third semester.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about your courses. I know that you're mm-hmm. teaching, obviously, Portuguese language, but you're also teaching a very interesting course in the humanities, which has gotten lots of students. And so if you don't mind spending a little bit of time about what the Portuguese courses are that are happening now at Fresno State and how folks who are listening to us, maybe not students, but their parents or their grandparents can entice them to take Portuguese.
Right. Yes, so at the moment I'm teaching a course on Portuguese language. Well, this semester is about to finish. I taught a course on elementary Portuguese, but I also taught a course titled The Cultures of the Portuguese-Speaking World. This is a very interesting course. It's been attracting lots of students, and not only Portuguese descent at all. There are students with all kinds of backgrounds. This course is an overview of the cultures of several Portuguese-speaking countries. So Portugal and the Azores, of course, but also Brazil, Angola, Mozambique, and Cabo Verde. So we go about studying literature, poetry, short stories, music, film, and to give students an overview of the interconnections between all of these courses and the history of all of these countries and their history as well.
And this course is in the humanities category, and it's in English, correct?
Yes, it's a course taught in English. It's a zero-cost course, okay. So all the materials are provided and are available online, and it is taught in English, yes. At the moment, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, and so all of the short stories, the poetry, all the readings are done in English about the
from
writers who have been translated. Correct?
Yes, the work, the selected works are all in translation. So yes, all the poetry and short stories and supporting texts are in English. Yes.
And as far as the Portuguese language courses are concerned, I know that the numbers have been increasing as well.
Yes, we've seen an increase. Well, I've only been here for 1 year and a half, so I'm, but taking from the experience of previous professors, and, well, namely you, Denise, and Professor Debbie Avila, who has been teaching at Fresno State for several years, there's been a constant increase each year. So at the moment, we have about 74 students in all three courses of Portuguese language and culture. Every semester we have more students, so we are looking forward to the future, and I think these are good prospects for the minor that is to come. I'm also working on opening new courses to develop two minors, a minor in Portuguese studies and a minor in Portuguese, where students will be able to study Portuguese literature, a course on the Azorean culture, just specifically about Azorean culture, and also a course on film of the Portuguese-speaking countries. Therefore, the students will be able to add this minor to their degrees and have, not only a better understanding of Portuguese language and culture, but also, better added tools for their professional life in the future.
Right, and a lot of the students that I have in my courses, and of course I'm just teaching one course this semester, next semester too, but it's the beginning level Portuguese, and of course with your courses and the humanities as well, we seem to have not just interest from Portuguese American students or students who are of Portuguese background, many of them their grandparents or their great grandparents who immigrated, but also other cultures, especially in the Hispanic culture. Seems to be lots of different interest about the Portuguese culture. That, at least I see that in my classes. I'm sure you see that as well. Correct.
Correct. Contrary to what we may think, most of the students actually are not of Portuguese descent. We have B classes, and I would say 70% of the students actually have different ancestry, namely Mexican and other countries in Latin America. So some of them choose, speaking of Portuguese language courses, well, the fact that they speak English, that they speak Spanish is an added bonus. But regarding the cultures of Brazil and African countries as well, we have students from different backgrounds, students also from different majors like political science, history, that are very interested in knowing more about the history of these countries. So these courses really attract everyone, and not just students of Portuguese descent.
Right. One of the things that you're working on for next semester, and I'd like to, I know it's far away from March, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the project that you're putting together with several other universities that teach Portuguese throughout not just California, but the western part of the United States, to have a visiting writer, a writer who has, one of her books have been translated to English and will be published soon. Tell us a little bit about Jamile and your work with that, and how important to you is that students and the community in general have access to these names in Portuguese contemporary literature.
Yes, it's really important that we are able to bring writers and other individualities, individuals from Portugal and Brazil, to speak to us about their work, their creative work, and also different challenges that these countries are going through at the moment. And it's a great way of having more contact with the contemporary Portugal, Brazil, etc., and the Azores, of course, as well. So at the moment, we are working together with different universities to bring the writer Jaimília Pereira de Almeida. She was born in Angola, but she lives in she grew up in Portugal and lives in Lisbon. She grew up in the suburbs of Lisbon, and she's an award-winning writer. She has just won a Brazilian prize, titled the Oceanos Prize. This prize was for one of her last books, titled Luanda, Lisboa, Paraíso, like Luanda, Lisbon, Paradise. She won prizes also for another her book, That Hair, or Yes, the Cabelo. That Hair is going to be published in English by the editor Tin House. It's the first English translation of her work in the United States. The book will come out in March 2020, and that's exactly when she's going to come to Fresno State to speak to us and visit us. Apart from that, you know, her visit draw the attention of many of my colleagues. I mean, all of us work together to bring her here with the support of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute and also Camões Institute from Portugal. So she's going to tour different universities, Fresno State, University of California, Berkeley, San Diego State University, UCLA, and she's going to Arizona after that. She's going to go to Arizona State University and University of Arizona. So she's going to stay with us for a while and speak about her work, discuss her issues of race, gender, language, immigration, identity, and all these pressing issues that, of course, are part of contemporary Portugal today.
Correct. And in many parts of the world, and here in the U.S. Definitely. We're dealing with all those issues constantly every day.
Yes, I think that's why this is appealing to our students as well, because even though, you know, she writes about Portugal and Angola, but these issues, of course, are we can all identify with them in our own countries and cities.
As we end our conversation, and again, I thank you for taking time to visit with us and to talk about everything that's Portuguese at Fresno State. Thank you for all you do.
Sure.
And I wanted to...
My pleasure.
How do you foresee the next few semesters, or as the program evolves, as the minors evolve and get put together, and some of the visiting writer now, and just a couple of weeks ago, we had another writer, a writer of children's, an illustrator from Portugal as well, Catarina Sobral. How do you foresee some of these things that are happening in the entire Portuguese language and cultural studies at Fresno State? And how do you see this as well in talking to your colleagues throughout California?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there is a little bit of a rebirth in Portuguese.
Yes, I think so. I am very much in contact with my colleagues working in other universities in California. We are very interested in working together to, you know, collaborate with cultural activities. Well, regarding Fresno State itself, I'm very looking forward for these next few years, because we see a significant growth in the number of students, and I think that will really the minors will boost this growth as well. I think it will be really interesting to be able to offer courses specifically speaking about the literature of Portugal, Brazil, the Azorean culture, and together with the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, which you direct, we have really excellent resources and conditions to, you know, speak about Portuguese and Azorean culture, Brazilian culture and history. And this will hopefully give more visibility to these cultures and languages and attract even more students, but also build bridges with the community. It's been excellent to see how many people come to the lectures organized by the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute, and how interested students are in the activities we've been doing as well. We just recently had another workshop with a Portuguese illustrator another award-winning illustrator who was also at Fresno State to show her work. students come, and even if it's at odd hours, they are interested in speaking with these authors and get to know their work. So I think we have the best conditions to develop Portuguese studies in the future, and I can only see the number of students growing and more people, especially from the community, coming to Fresno State to, you know, interact with us and with our students to develop this knowledge as well. And as for the cooperation with other universities, this is even more important. It's also very important to have this collaboration so that we can, you know, make the best of the resources which university has. And share these resources, mainly when the authors come and visit us.
Right, and also from Portugal, as you know, I believe there is an interest, whether it be in the Instituto de Camões or FLAD, the Fundação Luso-Americana para o Desenvolvimento, there is an interest, the Azorean government, the Portuguese government, there is an interest in them as well to collaborate and to have more opportunities for our students and the community, correct?
Yes, yeah, correct. They have been financing these events by financing the all the expenses, or well, a good part of the expenses necessary to bring these authors from abroad, but also, you know, they're really encouraging us to work together and collaborate to organize events together instead of just each university and each professor working individually in their own corners. So we see this support not only by financial support, but also encouragement and praise for the work we've been doing. So I think that's really important.
One of the things that we try to do, as you know, and it's been, although the community here, as far as the community of Portuguese language speakers, is mostly Portugal, Madeira Islands, the Azores Islands, but we do have a community of Brazilian descent in the northern area, a little bit of a Cape Verdean in the Sacramento area. How important do you think it is, not just even for Fresno or for Northern or Southern California, but in general? I think that it is, from my perspective, I think it is important that we kind of have a unified vision, let's put it that way, for lack of a better word, a unified vision of teaching Portuguese in the United States that involves Portugal and Brazil. What's your opinion on that? What's your take?
Yes, of course. I think we are better when we work together and when we think of Portugal and Portuguese language and culture in interconnection with other cultures as well. This is a fact. We've always built our identity together with other countries and other cultures. Obviously, some countries are indelibly related to Portugal, such as Brazil, Cabo Verde. So I think it's only natural and enriching that we always have this broader perspective. I think this is enriching for both countries, for all of these countries. So, for example, through Jaimili, we'll be able to speak more about Angola, which is already a topic in our course, The Cultures of the Portuguese-Speaking World. And I think it's better to just build bridges and create opportunities to meet and discuss. I think that's what one of the best parts of the events we've been organizing is, just an opportunity for us to come and meet and see each other. We know that we all have busy lives, and sometimes, you know, we don't really have the opportunity to meet people and speak to them. So I think these are just opportunities to build bridges with these other communities that speak Portuguese and have a connection with the Portuguese-speaking world, and who are actually not very far from us here.
Correct. Well, Professor Inês Lima, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Boas festas, Feliz Natal, Bom Ano Novo, and we'll see you back in Fresno as the semester will be. It just it seems like this time goes by really, really fast.
Yes.
But anyway, safe travels to you, and we'll see you back soon.
Yes,
and thank you for spending the time with us this
afternoon. Thank you as well for this program, for the work you've been doing, and thank you all the listeners, and Merry Christmas to all of you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Boas festas. And that was Professor Inês Lima, who is professor of Portuguese at the California State University, Fresno, and all of the work that is going on there. I thank her for her time. Safe travels to her and her family, and all of you. Hopefully all of you are having a great Christmas holiday. We'll be right back with more of the Portuguese American Hour on this holiday edition, as we wish all of you Boas festas.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
pensamento subiu em alto lugar, perde a pena de voar, ganha a pena do tormento. Não tem no ar nem no vento asas com que se sustenha, não há mal que lhe não venha. Perdigão perdeu a pena. Quis voar a uma alta torre, mas achou-se desazado e vendo-se de penado, de puro penado morre. Se a queixo me socorre, lança no fogo mais lenha, não há mal que lhe não venha. Perdigão perdeu a pena. Não há mal que lhe não venha. Perdigão perdeu a pena. Neste inverno,
and here we are back with the Portuguese American Hour on this holiday edition. Welcome, all of you. We are happy to have you here. Justice and I are on this side, and we had as our first guest Professor Inês Lima, who is from mainland Portugal, the city of Porto in northern Portugal, and who teaches Portuguese along with myself. Professor Inês Lima, this coming semester, will be teaching Portuguese 2A, which is a intermediate to advanced class, and will also be teaching two classes on the cultures of the Portuguese-speaking world, as she mentioned to you. And I will be teaching Portuguese 1A and 1B, a beginning and intermediate class. So for those of you who have either siblings or sons or daughters or nephews or grandkids at Fresno State, please encourage them to take the class. Portuguese 1A, actually, as of right now, is full, but we can break the ceiling if we have to, but right now the class is completely full with three students on a waiting list, but I'll make sure that they get in. Portuguese 1B does have, I believe, room for 12 more students. So if you're interested, please let them know. If you are a community member and like to take the class also for enrichment, you're more than welcome to take it as well. You can always get a hold of me for more information. We are now going to listen to a song, our first song for this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Remember that Portuguese American Hour is with you every day from 4 to 5 p.m. as a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University of Fresno. We are going to listen to one of my favorite fadistas in the whole entire universe. Her name is Kátia Guerreiro, and I actually met Kátia many, many, many years ago. I shouldn't say many, many years ago because she's not that old, but probably about 20 years ago. She was basically just breaking into the fado world. She was very, very young. I think she was like 21 or 22 at the time. She is a doctor of medicine. But she has given up practicing medicine to sing fado. So that's dedication. And she has a lovely voice, as I think you'll all agree with me. I'll let you be the judge of it. But from my perspective, she does. Her song is going to be Rosa Vermelha. And it's a very, very famous song in Portugal, written by a gentleman by the name of José Carlos Ari dos Santos. And music by Alan Ullman, who was a musician. Who composed lots of music for the famous Amália Rodrigues. So here is a song called Rosa Vermelha, or A Red Rose.
Música.
Já não sei se é comigo, se é contigo que eu me deito. A minha rosa vermelha mais parece uma romã, pois quando aberta de noite não se fecha de manhã. Trago uma rosa vermelha na minha boca encarnada. Quem me dera ser abelha na tua boca fechada. Trago uma rosa vermelha, não preciso de mais nada. Fogueira do teu rosto, mereço ser condenada por crime de fogo posto. A minha rosa vermelha, que é a minha condenação, condenada a vida inteira à fogueira da paixão. Trago uma rosa vermelha, atrevida e perfumada. É uma rosa vaidosa, a minha rosa encarnada. Trago uma rosa vermelha, não preciso de mais nada. Trago uma rosa vermelha, não preciso de mais nada.
And that is our music segment for this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour. As I mentioned before the song, the name of the fadista, the fado singer, we call them fadistas in Portuguese, is Katia Guerreiro, and the name of the song, Red Rose, Rosa Vermelha, by a famous songwriter, José Carlos Ari dos Santos, a great poet who unfortunately passed away not too long ago in Portugal. Welcome everyone once again. Thank you for joining us on this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour, now every day 4 to 5 p.m. We will have another guest on today's show, and we will also have some more music. But right now, and before we go to our other guest, I'd like to give you a little bit of a recipe, because every time that we meet, there's never too many recipes.
No, of course not.
Food, there's never too much food, it seems like, in the Portuguese American world. And I mentioned this in our prior show about some of the traditional recipes. We talked about the salted cod, we talked about the marinated pork, we talked about some other dishes, and I mentioned also that in certain parts of Portugal and the Azores, people use these different delicacies that you don't have on an everyday basis. And one of them that I mentioned was octopus. Polvo. Polvo is really a delicacy, obviously, in many cultures, and including in the Portuguese culture, including the Azorean culture. And I have one recipe, which is not mine. It's from the book Foods of the Azores Islands by Diolinda Maria Ávila, who I have had in the past year a couple of her recipes. And this one is a traditional recipe of polvo used in some islands of the Azores. And so what do you need to make a polvo octopus in this Azorean tradition? You need, obviously, the octopus. You need 2 cloves of garlic chopped. You need 1 small onion minced. You need a couple of bay leaves. Some people like to use 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon. So if you like a little bit of cinnamon, you might want to use a little bit of that. Some people opt not to use that. About 1/2 teaspoon of paprika and 1/4 teaspoon of allspice and 1 cup of white wine. A little bit of chili pepper. When I mean chili pepper, for those of you who know a little bit about Portuguese cooking, it's the Portuguese crushed peppers that you buy at any market that sells some of the Portuguese. You can use others, but that has kind of a unique taste to it, and of course, salt to taste. So the first thing that one needs to do is, with a kitchen mallet, you need to kind of beat the octopus and to make it tender. That's the reason. And that is probably the hardest part about the recipe, is beating the heck out of the octopus. So you can get that to be tender. Remove the ink pouch in the center, which is that hard area, and cut the octopus into small pieces. You can rub a little bit of the crushed garlic on it and a little bit of and marinate it a little bit with the Portuguese crushed pepper, malagueta moída or massa malagueta, as it's called in some parts. And then in a large saucepan, you want to saute one tablespoon of shortening, the minced onion and garlic. Add the octopus and then the rest of the ingredients. You just basically accept the wine and you basically cover and you let it simmer for a very, very long time. It seems like usually at least an hour and 15 to an hour and 30 minutes. Ooh. Maybe a little bit longer, or else it can be very, very hard. So if you don't like the octopus to be chewy, I would recommend that you keep on simmering it for at least and at a low temperature, obviously, medium temperature, not to burn it, but for at least an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and 30 minutes. As it's cooking, you may want to keep an eye on it. You may need to add a little bit of more water, so please keep an eye on it. When you feel that the octopus is pretty much getting to, you know, the way you like it, then I would add the wine. Actually, I like to add the wine at the end of about an hour of cooking, and sometimes I'll add a little bit more wine, and that will make that sauce, thicken up the sauce a little bit, as it also marinates and gives a little bit more taste to the octopus. In some parts of the Azores, they actually do put a few potatoes in it. You know, they boil some potatoes or cut the potatoes and let it cook the last few minutes that the octopus is being cooked. But that's only in certain parts. In the island of Terceira and also some other islands in the Azores, that is not the case. So you eat it basically, the octopus, with that sauce. The sauce is usually really rich and really good. And with bread, sometimes you may want to cook some white rice to serve with it as well. And it is very, very traditional nowadays if you want to do a little bit of a delicacy to go away from the salted cod or to go away from the traditional chicken or the marinated pork ribs. To use the octopus. There are some very good folks here in the Central Valley when it comes to the Portuguese festas who can cook octopus really, really well. And sometimes it's worth going to a festa, even if you don't go to festas a lot. It's just, if you'd like to try some good octopus, sometimes it's worth to go into some of the festas just to try a plate of octopus. They usually sell it. It depends on the time of the year. It depends, of course, on the cost, but I would say a plate with some bread for a generous plate of octopus and for a meal, obviously, anywhere between $14 to $15, sometimes $16, plates. In some parts of the state and some of the metropolitan parts, it can go up to $17 or $18. So octopus, it's not readily available, but a lot of the markets do carry it.
Yeah.
And it is a delicacy in lots of different cultures, and it is used a lot during the holidays here in mainland, here in the United States, as it comes from, this is a traditional Azorean recipe. There are other recipes. There's a recipe which is just kind of a cooked and barbecued grilled octopus with some olive oil on it, which is called polvo a lagareiro, or octopus lagareiro style. So the Portuguese have about, you know, three or four different ways. This is a traditional one from the islands of the Azores, so maybe one of our listeners can go ahead and try it out and tell us how the octopus recipe went.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I've never had octopus before. I always see.
Are you willing to try it? Some people won't even try it.
I'd be willing to try it as long, like, okay. This one sounds like it's fully cooked.
I've seen
some stuff on the internet. They eat it and it's still moving.
No, yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Well, I eat some things that are moving, but you know, we have something in Portugal called, in the Azores, called lapas, which is limpets, which is kind of in a shell, almost like a mussel kind of a thing. And you can eat those live, and I have eaten those live, you know, and they're moving, you know, and you can look at them and they look at you. they can also be done grilled, and they're grilled, they're very good.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, lots of people won't even try the octopus. In my family, both my sons, I don't think my grandkids will try it, but both my sons do like it. So I think that it is worth trying, at least, you know, if it's cooked. Yeah, this is fully cooked with lots of sauce.
Definitely sounds interesting.
And I think we're going to go directly to our next guest. So we just have a few minutes before the next break, and our guest is on the line. And our guest is coming to us from Northern California. She is the chairperson of the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, BALCAS. She has been here. She was actually here on our second show, if I'm not mistaken. She's been here before to talk about the organization. Today we're going to talk a little bit about kind of the a wrap of the year-long events that the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States has done. And our guest is Angela Costa Simões. Angela, how are you?
I'm doing well, Denise. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's such a pleasure.
My pleasure. You're our first repeated guest, and it had to be Angela anyway,
Ooh.
Because she's probably the most Portuguese of all the Portuguese Americans in the world.
It is.
And it's amazing how Portuguese you are, although it was your grandparents, correct?
Third,
that immigrated.
Third generation.
Yeah, third
great-grandparents.
Generation. Great grandparents.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So let's talk a little bit about the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, BALCAS, our national organization. I have the pleasure of co-hosting with Angela the podcast, Politicus, mm-hmm. which we, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, just interviewed a very interesting person. This is, of course, our Christmas edition show that we are doing right now. And I thank Angela for taking time from her busy schedule to be with us. We are going to be going on a break in about 4 minutes. But before that, well, then we'll come back and continue talking with Angela. But before that, Angela, a little bit about some of the events that have kind of been looking back on this year that's ending now, what are some of the highlights from your perspective?
Gosh, when I think of that, it's been a whole year. It's hard to believe that it's passed by so quickly because we have done so much. And it all starts in the beginning of the year when we have our congressional reception on Capitol Hill. As you know, we are a nationally based organization, and so we serve as the voice for the community, and part of that is maintaining good relationships with legislators on Capitol Hill, so we have that. We host an annual breakfast as part of the Grandes Festas in Fall River, Massachusetts, where we, you know, invite, again, dignitaries and other community leaders to that breakfast. And then we have mixers throughout the country, so wherever we have directors or members willing to host a networking event, we try to get people together just to meet each other and share resources. And, you know, it's always nice to meet other Portuguese professionals in lots of different industries. And so we do a lot of those. And then, of course, our big annual event, our gala that we held in Sacramento this year, which was a great success. And it was a 3-day event this year. Usually it's just like a day and a half. And we partnered with CPAC, which, Denise, everyone knows, you're the fearless leader of that group, and I'm on the board as well. But it was a great collaboration because we were able to really talk about how do we get more Portuguese Americans involved in the political and process and in public service. And we had some wonderful speakers. Michael Rodriguez came out from Massachusetts, and we had the new president of FLAD there, the ambassador from D.C. was there. So we had quite an attendance, and we had some really great discussions on what we can do to increase our participation there. And then, of course, in the evening, we honored some wonderful people, both locally in the community as well as on the national stage. And then we ended with a wine tour. So, you know, we Portuguese have to have our wine. And so what I was really, you know, proud of that we did this year is we incorporated so many Portuguese American vendors and businesses into the weekend. So we went and visited St. George Winery and Carvalho Family Winery, and the dessert was provided by a Portuguese American. The wines were provided by a Portuguese American winery. I mean, so we just, everywhere we could, we incorporated Portuguese Americans.
Right, right. And so, Angela, we're going to take a quick break, and if you don't mind hanging on for just about a minute and a half or so. And
sure.
We're going to come back and continue talking about the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, BALCAS, which is our national organization. And I know we've covered this with Angela the first time that she was here, but we'll talk a little bit more about how important it is to have a national voice. Actually, in the podcast that Angela and I just recorded, our guest mentioned exactly the role role of Palkus and what Palkus can do and is doing, and how important it is to have that voice at a national level. I think that sometimes the Portuguese Americans kind of lose track of, you know, we get very involved in our local Portuguese association. That's great. You know, we need the neighborhood associations and the local associations, but the national associations have or in this case, the national association has an imperative and very important role in keeping all of this together. So we'll be right back with the Portuguese American Hour, and we'll continue on talking with Angela Simões, who is the chair of the board of the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, PALCAS. We'll be right back with the Portuguese American Hour here on KGST AM 1600 Multicultural Radio.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM. Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And here we are back on the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno. Now it's kind of what we call a daily dosage. Portuguese American Hour is on every day, Monday through Friday. We started on Wednesdays, but by popular demand, I guess we might call it that, we're on now every day from 4 to 5 p.m. So, Angela, it's exactly what I needed. It was a job 5 days a week.
I know. I was saying, you know, it's terrible when you're good at what you do, Denise.
No, I don't know if I'm good at what I do. I'm just cheap. One of the things I was thinking about, and I was thinking about you and I and a couple of the people that we know in the Portuguese American community, we interviewed for the podcast, and that is another thing we'll talk a little bit about. We interviewed for the podcast at Palkus Des Politicus, a young man, and by the name of Tim Perry. Who is a very, very impressive resume. So if you want to know what it is, you have to listen to the Politicus. But we when we were talking to him, Angela, he said that if you really want to feel rewarded, do volunteer work. I mean, I'm so rewarded. You and I should be just rewarded, and we should have all kinds of good feelings 99% of the time.
Exactly.
Because we spend our time on volunteer work. You know, my father used to say this wonderful saying when about volunteer work. He says, it doesn't pay a lot, but it's uma alegria, you know. Uma alegria. So anyway, Angela, a little bit about the Politicus as far as that's concerned as well. So this is a podcast. Tell our listeners, I know we spent just a few minutes last time on it, but how can people listen? What is Politicus and how can people listen to it, please?
Well, we started Politicus as a way to generate conversation, you know, that it's political in nature. I mean, we don't just debate, immigration or things like that, but we wanted to highlight the experience of Portuguese Americans that are in public office, whether they were elected or appointed, and at all levels. So not just congressmen or senators, but, you know, people who are at the school board level, city council, mayors, or even appointed, or even, you know, we've interviewed someone at the CDC. And so it's important to understand what these experiences have been like, because as we encourage more people to run for office or volunteer, as you say, or just get involved in public service in some way, it's important for people to know that there are lots of different ways to do it, and you don't have to run for Congress, right? So I think a lot of people are intimidated, and we wanted to open up the conversation and let people know that there are a lot of different ways to get involved. And, you know, there's so many different people doing it with lots of different backgrounds. So just making it more accessible. And so people can listen on iTunes and on SoundCloud. We do post all of the episodes to our YouTube channel as well. We create a visual edition of them with slideshows and everything. And so we're trying to make them as accessible as possible. So all you have to do is search on SoundCloud or iTunes or YouTube for Politicus, P-A-L-I-T-I-C-U-S. It's very phonetic. And it'll pop up. And we've already done, I think, like 36 episodes. We've cranked them out quite a bit.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we have. Part of our volunteer work. I'm going to remember Tim forever. And a little bit about, I know you were almost out of time, but I'd like to ask you a little bit about upcoming events for Palcus. How do you foresee 2020?
It's already shaping up to be quite busy. I mean, in addition to the actual events that we hold, the physical events, you know, we have a lot of initiatives that we are driving. One of our biggest, as you know, and you had Marie Fraley on as a guest, is the Make Portuguese Count initiative for the U.S. Census. So, you know, that it will take place. The census officially kicks off in April of 2020. And so we will be really pushing a lot of new videos and new content around that. We completed our second edition of the Palcus Index National Survey, which to date is the only source of data about the national community in terms of what they care about, what really matters to them, where do they spend their time. You know, the census happens every 10 years, and this year, yes, we will get, you know, demographic information about our community. But, you know, do people in our community teach their kids how to speak Portuguese? Do they want those kinds of opportunities? Do they feel connected to a Portuguese community? Do they donate to their community? Those kinds of questions. So more qualitative questions, so we can better understand what's the motivation behind our community and what they do. So we'll be publishing those results. And then, of course, we have our, you know, our congressional reception and other events. But then we are having our second national conference in Florida. And that will be held in conjunction with our annual gala. So it's in October, Columbus Day weekend, so mark your calendars. It's going to be in Coral Gables, which is very close to Miami, and we're very excited. It's shaping up to be quite a big event that's going to focus on business opportunities and making the bridge even stronger between Portugal and the U.S. for folks that want to invest. Either, you know, if you're a Portuguese-American business person here and you see opportunities to invest in Portugal but you don't quite know where to start, this would be the place for you to come and learn about that. And so we're partnering with ESEP, with the Portuguese government, with the Portuguese U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and a few other entities. And so, yes, it's shaping up to be quite the event. So that's our big focus. And so 2020 is going to be just as busy as ever.
And if folks listening want to find out more information, where do they go? For Palkus.
The best place is always our website. And okay. It's very simple, www.palcus.org. Everything is there.
Okay. And folks, of course, can become members because although we're kind of in the Portuguese American community, seems like we're only used to kind of membership in our local hall. But I think that the national membership is important as well to have this voice. So there is different levels of membership, yes. Starting, I believe, around $100 a person, a family, right?
Actually, there's a $50 level as well.
Okay.
We tried to make it very accessible and affordable for anyone to join and support the national organization. And you're right, Denise, it's very important for us to have a national voice because we, you know, every other ethnic group has one. And so when we are seeing things in the media and we say, well, why aren't the Portuguese featured? Or why isn't the Portuguese included? Or why? Well, that's why we're here, to make sure that we, you know, are answering those questions and advocating on behalf of our community.
And as we end the conversation, Angela, one more thing. The Amigos Act that just came through the House of Representatives passed unanimously, I believe. I know it's been creating lots of buzz and people are asking, what does that mean for Portugal? Can you give us a nutshell?
Yes, so it actually enables, and you probably, I hate to say it, you probably know more about it than I do, Denise, but it actually is allowing for a special visa for folks from Portugal to come and work in mm-hmm. the U.S.
And,
I know that, Denise, you know more about it than I do, but it's a big milestone for us because, for example, one of the big issues we have is, for example, finding Portuguese teachers
Correct.
To come over here and teach Portuguese, and so this will hopefully help with that tremendously.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Angela, for spending time with us on this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour. Boas festas for your entire family. Yes. Feliz Natal, bom ano novo, and all that. Thank you so much again. Thank you.
All right.
And that was Angela Costa Simões, who is the chair and president of the board of directors for the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, PALCAS, an organization that does grand work at the national level here in throughout the United States. I'm proud to be on the board of PALCAS. I'm on the board of too many organizations, but PALCAS is not one of them. There's too many because I feel that it is really a needed organization, as Angela pointed out, so no use in repeating what you said, but I would encourage those of you in the Portuguese American community who want to help PALCAS have, and the Portuguese American community have, a national voice to become part of PALCAS. As you said, just go to www.palcus or palcus.org for more information. And do take a listen. Also on that website is a link to the Politicus. It's a podcast that Angela and I co-host. On a regular basis. As she said, we've been doing it for a little over a year, and we have done 36 episodes, so that's not bad at all.
That's really good.
And so we will have some of those guests on the Portuguese American Hour as well, when it relates to, obviously, what we're doing here in the Valley and the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. We are almost at the end of this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We are featuring Katia Guerreiro as our musical invitee, and we're going to listen to another bit of Katia, then we'll come back with some more information and to end this edition, this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour on KGST AM 1600 Multicultural Radio.
Chora, mariquinha, chora, chora por quem não tens, o limão anda na roda. Procura o limão, mariquinhas, ele cá não está, ele cá não se achou, está no meio do caminho a fazer o sol e dó. Quem diria, mariquinhas, que continuava a chorar? Quem diria, mariquinhas, que continuava a chorar? E as outras rapariguinhas que haviam de acompanhar. E as outras rapariguinhas que haviam de acompanhar. Chora, mariquinha, chora, chora que o limão não vai. vai. Chora, mariquinha, chora. Chora que o limão não vai. Que o limão, por quem tu choras, já fez chorar tua mãe. Que o limão, por quem tu choras, já não veio a tua mãe. Chora, mariquinha, chora. Chora por quem não tens. O limão anda na roda. Procura o limão, mariquinhas. Ele cá não está, ele cá não se achou. Está no meio do caminho a fazer o solidão. Chora, mariquinha, chora. Chora a tua solidão. Chora, mariquinha, chora. Chora a tua solidão. Que o limão que não achaste chamava-se coração. Já passaram tantas luzes. Chora, chora, mariquinha. Já passaram tantas luas. Chora, chora, mariquinhas. Choro eu, saudades tuas. Chora tu, saudades minhas.
Cátia Guerreiro is our musical invitee for this holiday edition of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno. With our daily dosage, the Portuguese American Hour is on every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you all for joining us. Please pass the information on to your family and friends. It's a new venture for us. We started with the Portuguese American Hour just one day a week on Wednesdays, 4 to 5. It has now grown to 5 days a week, 4 to 5. But obviously it will only continue if we have the sponsorship and obviously the listening audience to justify this venture of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University, Fresno. We're doing this for KGST, but obviously there are bills to be paid here as well. So do listen and do put out the word to your family and friends and those in the business world that the Portuguese American Hour is certainly a way to get in touch with the Portuguese American community throughout not just the Central Valley, not just the area from Merced to Delano area, but also because our programs are live streamed also throughout the state and throughout the Portuguese speaking world. So do be a part of it any way you can. We are always having different guests on, as today we had two guests, Professor Inês Lima, who is a Portuguese language and culture professor here at the California State University, Fresno, and who talked about all the events that are going on, including the creation of two Portuguese minors at the university, and that's exciting news. And then we also just spoke with Angela Costa Simões. Angela Simões is the president of the Portuguese American Leadership Council of the United States, a national organization with a very vibrant calendar of events and different things that put us on the map as far as a Portuguese American presence at the national level. As far as Portuguese American community local events, I do want to remind everyone, as I have in the past, that if you are interested in partaking in a New Year celebration with a little bit of a Portuguese flavor, then get a hold of the local Portuguese hall in your area, because most of them do have New Year's events that's coming up in just a few days. So do get a hold of them. Many of them probably have already sold out, but some of them will have tickets available. Prices depends on the organization. They go as low in some for $30 and some as high as $50. But usually is a way to also partake in some good Portuguese food and some Portuguese music. In Tulare, for example, the TDES Hall has a New Year's event. So does the soccer hall. The Tulare Athletic Club soccer hall has a New Year's event. In Hanford, the St. John's Hall has a soccer event. And I know there are other events as well up in the Northern Valley. So do check out your local Portuguese hall. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being part of the Portuguese American Hour. We're always at around the holiday time. It's a good time to thank everyone who has listened to us, who continues to support us. On behalf of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at the California State University in Fresno, We want to thank all of our supporters. We want to thank the FLAD Foundation in Lisbon for being a strong supporter. Also, lots of community members who have been supporting us, especially when we had a crowdfunding event in the month of October, and we were able to raise within that month awesome amount of money, $25,000, to help with all of the Portuguese Oral History Project. The Portuguese Oral History Project, which is something we'll talk in the next few episodes here at the Portuguese American Hour. It is a way for us to preserve the Portuguese presence in the valley at the California State University of Fresno. It'll be archived in the library. It'll be showcased at various venues. So it is something that, although it doesn't have a big cost when it comes to collecting the histories. I mean, there is a cost, obviously, for the machines and all that that go around with it, the technology. But then there is a cost in transcription, because everything will be transcribed and everything will be put forth at university. So again, thank you all for joining us. Boas festas, Feliz Natal, have a great Christmas and a happy holiday season, everyone. And we'll see you on the next edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversations about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.